And I'm excited about being in church. Ever since I was little, my mother raised me on the importance of going to the worship service, the importance of being with the saints. I loved, as a child, Sunday school. I loved it. I loved vacation Bible school in summer. And I, believe it or not, even if I was sick and missed the worship service, you know, I felt bad. I still do. Because I'm excited to be a Christian. Back to the sermon. Peter spoke in Acts chapter 2. He preached about Jesus. 3,000 people were baptized that very day. After that, the church was devoted, the Bible teaches us, to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They took care of each other, we read in the chapters that followed, even to the point where some would sell land that they might help care for the poor and needy in the church. They cared for each other. They took care of each other. And Acts 2:47 says, enjoying favor of all the people. Their conduct and their commitment led others to the faith. And the Bible says, and the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. After Peter and John healed the lame man at the beautiful gate, the Bible says, many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. What did Peter do? Peter, in the name of Jesus, healed a lame man. That caught people's attention. They said, God cares about people. And isn't that what we want? A God who cares about people? And the church grew to about 5,000 men. Because of this success, the Jewish leaders decided they wanted to stop Christianity. So, the best way? Well, get the main preachers, arrest them, warn them, and let them go. And they did. They arrested Peter and John. They told him, don't preach Jesus in the temple anymore. You know what Peter answered? We must obey God more than men. So their attempt to squelch the new movement didn't work. And you know what Peter and John did? They went to the Christians to tell what happened. And the Christians got together and they prayed. And here's what they prayed. Enable his servants to speak the word with boldness. You ever thought about it? They could have prayed, God, don't let them persecute us. God, kill the enemy. They could have prayed a lot, couldn't they? But what was it they asked God to do? To help them preach boldly. Don't take away the persecution. Help us to speak boldly. These men and these women knew how to pray, didn't they? The early Christians took care of their poor with generosity. They taught with courage in the temple. And that we read they did that daily. They went house to house daily. And we read in chapter 5 and verse 13, the Christians were highly regarded by the people. More and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their numbers daily, 5:14 says. The Jewish leaders redoubled their efforts to stop the preaching. They arrested, once again, some of the apostles. This time they even beat the apostles and said, do not teach Jesus. Another case we read where Peter was in jail. God sent an angel to let him out. And at that time he told Peter, I guess it was Peter and John, to go back into the temple and the courts and teach the people the full message of this new life. And the apostles did that. This is where they were arrested then and beat. Because you remember the guards came and said, oh, they're missing. And what would you think if someone escaped from prison? What do you first expect? They're going to run as far away as they could. But where did they find Peter and John? Preaching in the temple like Jesus commanded them to, the full message of the new life. Now they were beaten and warned. But once again we read, they went on preaching and teaching daily in the temple and house to house. They didn't let a little persecution stop them. This prayer for boldness was working, wasn't it? After they solved the problem with the Grecian widows, remember they had that problem. They were helping the widows, weren't they? The Christian widows. And the Bible says, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The priests, the leaders of old Israel, came to the faith, a large number of them. Why? They were seeing, not only hearing the message, they were seeing the message. The widows were being taken care of. People were being healed. God cared for the people. People notice when good things are happening. And because of this great success, opposition grew, didn't it? Stephen was called before the Sanhedrin, where he boldly proclaimed the message of Christ. And he accused them of murdering the righteous one of God. And we know what happened to Stephen, don't we? They stoned him. And they laid their jackets and their clothes at the feet of Saul of Tarsus. And we read how Saul persecuted the church. How he went to other cities and dragged people out of their houses. And we read in chapter 8, verse 4, those who had been scattered taught the word wherever they went. When it says those who were scattered, who is he talking about? It wasn't the apostles, because we read the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. Now, in German, they have a thing they say. They say, stinknormal. That means the smelly normal people. These are the people that were scattered. These were the people who went out teaching. These are the people who established churches all over the Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire. Those stinknormalen Christians. I'm not saying we're smelly, but I'm saying normal, everyday Christians went out teaching and preaching the word. Where the apostles were still in Jerusalem, the normal Christians were out spreading the gospel. In chapter 11, 19 through verses 19 through 21, many of the believers were scattered when they were persecuted after Stephen was killed. Some of them went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, telling the message to others, but only to Jews. Some of these believers were people from Cyprus and Cyrene. When they came to Antioch, they spoke also to the Greeks, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord was helping the believers, and a large group of people believed and turned to the Lord. This was probably about 9 years since Pentecost. And shortly after the conversion of Cornelius, even, at Caesarea, where Peter opened the door to non-Jews for the gospel of Christ. Soon after that, Barnabas went to Tarsus, where the newly converted Saul of Tarsus was living. And he brought him to Antioch so he could help with the work. It was here that the Holy Spirit called Barnabas and Paul to go preach the gospel to places that had never been taught. And you know what the church did before they sent them? It says the church fasted and prayed and then laid their hands on them and sent them to do this, what God had called them to do. And in spite of opposition, Barnabas and Paul established congregations in each of the cities that they visited. And on their way back, they went through these cities again, appointing elders in each place. Even after Paul was arrested and was put in jail, you know what Paul did? He continued preaching and teaching. When he gets to Rome to come before Caesar, you know, the book of Acts says many of the praetorian guard, that this is Caesar's private guard, were believers. Now, who do you think was responsible? Well, God first, but through the works of Paul, who was teaching both through his mouth and through his life and actions the gospel of Christ. And even his guards became Christians. Isn't that amazing? The story goes on throughout the book of Acts, the spread of Christianity in the known world. After all, it was their duty. But more than a duty, I think it was their honor and their pleasure to tell of the good things that God had done for them through Jesus Christ. I've drawn some conclusions from going through the book of Acts. I'd like to share those with you. First, these men and women, these Christians, they focused on preaching and teaching Christ. You know, sometimes I think we get off on tangents. What is the message that saves? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Christ brings salvation. Not movie night. Not fellowship meals. But Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And they focused on the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ. After all, it is Christ, the Son of God, who came to die for the sins of the world. We too must teach Jesus Christ and Him crucified if we wish to evangelize Plymouth, Apopka, and all the areas in which we live. We do not need to change the message. The message has worked for centuries. Why? What do they say? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Something like that. I couldn't fix it anyways. I'm not good at fixing things. I call Bert. Secondly, they had a clear message about how people were to respond to the gospel. Their message never changed. They preached so people might believe in Jesus. But they also called people to respond to the message with repentance and baptism. And then further teaching. We also must learn to be clear about the response that God wants and expects of His disciples. We have no assurance that any message short of what the apostles taught carry with it the promise of salvation. Thirdly, they were bold and they were courageous. Opposition only encouraged their boldness. The more they were opposed, the louder they spoke. They didn't stop. They even would rejoice when they were allowed to be punished in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine that? Peter and John were beaten, and the Bible says they went on their way rejoicing. Can you imagine the guy that just beat them? These guys are crazy. They're happy that they got beaten. But why? Because those stripes, and Peter, Paul said the same thing, these stripes were for Jesus. They taught boldly and courageously. They probably knew fear, but they knew that God had won the victory over fear. Fourthly, they were willing to discuss the message of Jesus in any forum, no matter if it was public or private. Paul even spoke in the big city council meeting where the smart people came together and spoke. They went house to house. Paul spoke and taught in the market, as did Peter. They would go to the homes of the family of Christians, and they would teach and speak. The message of Jesus has withstood the attacks of opponents for the first century till this day. Why do we worry that we might get destroyed if we preach the gospel of Christ in all situations? Fifthly, they taught anyone regardless of their spiritual condition. Sometimes I think we wish to preach only to the righteous. Jesus, did he come to the righteous? He came to a lost world. Listen to what Paul said. First off, the Christians believed that their message could benefit any person who would hear and believe. But listen to Paul. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Surely you know that the people who do wrong and will not inherit God's kingdom, do not be fooled. Those who sin sexually, who worship idols, who take part in adultery, those who are male prostitutes, are men who have sexual relations with other men, those who steal, who are greedy, who get drunk, those who lie around others, those who rob, these people will not inherit God's kingdom. Now listen to what Paul says. In the past, some of you were like that. What if Paul had not gone to preach to these people? They would still be lost in their sins. We need to learn God's gospel can affect even what we might consider the most corrupt and evil people. The message of Christ is powerful. And then he says, in the past, some of you were like that, but you were washed clean. You were made holy, and you were made right with God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. All people can be touched by the Word. We should not limit our gospel to only certain types of people, should we? It's for all. Sixth, they spread the message in all types of places. There was no place that they were not willing to take the gospel. We need this same spirit today, whether it be at work, or whether it be at play, or whether it be in vacation. You know, Christianity doesn't have vacations, does it, Ruth? Even in vacation, we are Christian and have the responsibility to live for Jesus and to tell others about Him. Seventh, they had a strong fellowship and they were concerned for each other. They took care of each other financially. They gave food to one another. They collected money to help one another. We likewise need to work in unity and spark each other on to good works and into being Christian. It was often this care seen by the community that brought many to seek the message and open their hearts to Jesus Christ. Eighth, we read that they served those outside their fellowships. You know, when Peter went out and healed, he even healed those who were outside the fellowship that he might have an open door to preach the message. While we don't have these miraculous powers today that do things like that, we do have the power to help. You know, I don't know if you realize this. You remember those tsunamis that hit Asia a while back? Was it 2 years ago? Three? I can't even remember. You remember those tsunamis? Do you know what countries sent the most money and the most care middles, the most food, the most doctors? What we call Christian nations, the United States and Europe. Because Christ calls for us to care. He calls for us to help. Even the Samaritans who get waylaid along the roadside. And it was Christian nations that rose. Yes, some Muslim nations did help. Some were shamed into it because the Christian nations were helping more. But they came nowhere near helping like Europe and the United States and other Christian nations. You know, Islam has really a fatalistic view of life. It's the will of Allah, they say. So if God is punishing those people, why should I help them? That's how they think. It's the will of Allah. But the Christian nations, through Christ, we've learned to care for others. This catches people's attention. Ninth, they prayed. They didn't pray that persecution would end. They didn't pray that God might make it easier for them. What we read is they prayed for boldness. They prayed that people be sent. They prayed in the times of distress. They prayed that Christians be faithful. The point is, they prayed and prayed and prayed. Prayer was important to them. And it gave them the strength to move on in evangelism. Tenth, they believed the hand of God was with them. If God is for us, who can be against us? And the Christians realized that and were not afraid. Do we realize that? That God is with us? Jesus said, I will be with you until tomorrow. Until the end of this age. Christ is with us. Let us put more confidence in our trust of God that He will help us in our evangelistic outreach. And the 11th point that I found, and there might be more, they established a biblical leadership. They didn't let it stand the static quo. They put leaders, they appointed elders in all of the churches. These were observations that I had made in the book of Acts. And I'd like to bring three more points that I found in another book, The Rise of Christianity by Rodney Stark. Let me point out some of the things he saw. He pointed out that as the Christians fled Jerusalem, they also probably fed part of it sometimes, but as they fled Jerusalem during the persecution, he said they went to homes of friends and family. And of course, they shared their faith. Once there, they happily shared the good news of Christ. We call this networking, don't we? What do? You go to your friends and family first. And then their friends and family. And you can always spread outwards. And that's what he pointed out. The Christians fled to places they knew, where they had friends and family. And of course, because they were Christians, they shared their faith. Secondly, he pointed out that the Christians spread rapidly because of the Christian culture of helping people. We mentioned this already. Christians help even non-Christians, and people notice. Thirdly, he pointed out, and this is important, he pointed out their willingness to die for their faith. Have you thought about that? If God called you into a situation where you had to die for your faith, would you be willing? They were. They were. They took their Christianity dead serious. That is a pun intended. In the end, Stark came to this conclusion. Christianity grew so rapidly because of the way Christians lived and the way they died. If we want the gospel to spread in Plymouth and in the outside laying areas of Plymouth, Apopka, Winter Garden, Orlando, then we need to learn to be friends and neighbors to all. We need to learn how to help. We need to learn how to be cheerful. If we are known in our neighborhood as mean and nasty, are we going to win anybody to Christ? But if we are known as people who care, people who laugh, people who help, we can speak about Jesus. The primary means of growth in the first century was through the united and motivated efforts of the growing numbers of Christian believers who invited their friends, their relatives, and their neighbors to share in the good news with them. This is what Christ has called you to do. And this is what we here at Plymouth ask of you as well. And we're giving you the opportunity this August, August 15th. We are going to have a vacation Bible school for our young ones, 7th grade and down. Invite your grandchildren, invite your neighbors, invite your own children, and bring them. It's fun. On the 16th, we are having a Friends and Family Day. You know what this day is designed for? To invite your friends and your family to worship with us. You can even bribe them and say, we got a meal afterwards. Yum, yum. Come, free meal. And they will hear a message about Jesus Christ. This is the perfect chance and opportunity for you to practice what Christ has called you to. How is it with you this morning? Do you need to repent and seek the prayers of the church because of your inactivity? Or maybe you have not yet put on Jesus Christ in baptism. Maybe you have not yet washed away your sins. Maybe you are not yet part of the family. We can do that this morning as you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Will you not put Him on in baptism this very day as we stand and sing our invitation song?